29, a very familiar verse, often misinterpreted. But, you know, I've enjoyed, actually, preaching topical messages and praying all week, Lord, what is it? What is it? And Lord just laid this on my heart to take this passage, talk about it, and look at verse 18, Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy is he. Lord, we commit this time to thee. Pray, God, that this would be a time of encouragement, a time of challenge. And give wisdom now, discernment as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just get right out of the chute here. The word vision there, actually, in the Hebrew language, means an open revelation of the Word of God. Where there's no open revelation of the Word of God. It actually could speak of teaching and preaching of the Word. It also, you know, that verse often is used about vision. You know, what's your vision as a church? And what's your vision as a Christian? Well, the word means open revelation. And it could mean the ability to discern things and anticipate the future. All right? It could speak of God's guidance. Tell me about God's guidance in your life. So without, where there's no vision, the people perish. Interesting word. It means the people are made bare. They're made naked. It actually means they're dispersed. They become disorderly, ungovernable, unrestrained, as we heard Brother Chuck talk about a minute ago about America. So the thought is, where there's no open revelation of the Word of God, the people are made bare. They're made naked. They become disorderly and unrestrained. Let me go a little bit further. Where there's no ability to discern the future results of present actions, which is another definition for understanding. Where there's no understanding, the people become disorderly, ungovernable, unrestrained. So when the Word of God is not proclaimed, the Bible is not being proclaimed, the result is spiritual nakedness and rebellion. The people become unrestrained in their passions and in wickedness. As Brother Chuck was saying, it's so indicative of America today. You know, you think about us as a country. This is a nation which at one time honored the Bible in all sectors of life. The public schools, I remember in public school, we able to pray before a class in public school. The Bible was on the desk of many of the teachers, not all, but many of the teachers. Political leadership talked more openly about Jesus. You found the Bible in homes and businesses. Not so much today. You carry a Bible into most public school classrooms, universities, and you are laughed to scorn. In fact, you are fired if you are a professor at one of these public universities and you happen to have a Bible on your desk. You'll be fired. So if you're a teacher who believes the Bible to be God's final authority and you want to have it on your desk, you're out of there, out of sight. So an open revelation, an expression of God's Word, is not always allowed in a rebellious country. So consequently, the nation, rebellion. You've got people who are unrestrained in their morals, in their convictions. You've got people who are disorderly, ungovernable. I appreciate what Woodrow Wilson said about the Bible. Here's what he said. He said, there are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president. But I expect to find the solution of those problems just in the proportion that I am faithful in the study of the Word of God. Isn't that good? So what's the application? Where there's no open presentation by God's people of the Word of God, Here's another one. The prisons will be overflowing in a nation. You know what it costs to keep someone in prison now? Well, the cheapest prisons are $33,000 a year. Keep somebody in prison. In California, it costs about, averages, prisons across the board, about $75,000 a year. Now, if you're privileged to be a prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, they estimate it costs them $3.3 million a year for one inmate. You can Google that and figure it out. One writer, that's a little bit more expensive, Ben, than sending you to college. $3.3 million, what do you think? So one writer said, it's the Bible that's kept us alive all these centuries. It's the Bible that holds the greatest hope for our survival in the future. Would you agree? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know that word? Hearing by the word of God? It's not the word logos. It's the word rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word, the open revelation of God. Why is that? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, the Bible. I'm just going to encourage you today. I want to tell you a little bit about what's to come in the message. I'm going to give several verses, and I'm going to give several good quotes. So hang on. I've got some quotes that are a few paragraphs long, and just were a blessing to me this week as I was studying for this. So I would say the Bible is not simply a book of philosophy. This book is not simply a nice little philosophy book. It's not just a book of nice little cute pithy sayings. This book is the Word of God. So, first of all, we believe that the Bible is without error. That's the word inerrant. Psalm 119, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So every word is inerrant. Every word is God-breathed. Number two, it is whole. Whole. Complete. Whole. There's nothing needed now to make the Bible more whole. It's everything we need. We looked at Proverbs 22:18 last week. It says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So this book has everything you need. Everything we need. You know, some people, the moment they have some kind of issue, where do they flee? They pay thousands of dollars for psychologists, for psychiatrists. The first thing they do is go to the phone and call their best friends and talk for hours, and there's no hope. There's no wholeness, no completion in their lives. Well, what do they need? Well, they need to get into the Word of God. All right, because the Word of God is whole. Number three, it is commanding. It is commanding or directive, commanding. Isaiah said it well. Isaiah 1 verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. God says he gives his word to us to nourish us, to bring us up. And when we stiff arm the word of God, God calls us rebellious. Number four, the word of God expects obedience. Obedience. You know, one very famous pastor, he said this. Several thousand people in his church, a fundamental man. He said, if I could get my people to be committed to obey the word of God, I can preach anything in the word of God and they'll obey it. You think about that. He's fundamental. He's not a shyster. I think the key for us is to be obedient, be committed to obeying the word of God. I often ask somebody, listen, have you ever purposed in your life that when God shows you from his word something that's gone contrary to the way you're living, have you purposed in your life that you will obey God immediately with the right spirit? I think that's a key for us. In counseling, I've often said, listen, let me ask you, we're going to spend some time together, but I'm going to share scripture with you. Have you purposed in your life, in your marriage, premarital, in your marriage, to obey the word of God? Yes. Well, we can talk further. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. God holds us accountable for chapter and verse. Number five, the word of God is adequate. It's all you need. There's nothing more you need, nothing less you need than the word of God. Whatever need there is in our lives, whatever need there is in our hearts, the Bible is adequate to meet those needs. You have a question about relationships? Go to the word of God. You see, the word of God is adequate to answer all of our questions about life, about relationships, about our future. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Say this with me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's adequate. Number six, the word of God, the Bible, is revealing. It's revealing. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9 and 10, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It's revealing. You want to see the effects of the Word of God on people? Go to the mission field. You say, well, where's the mission field? It's right here. But go to the mission field, the foreign mission field, and see how the scriptures have changed the lives of, I would say, specifically cannibalistic tribes. A story is told of a college professor who visited the Fiji Islands. He was an agnostic, and he critically remarked to an elderly chief, he said, quote, you're a great leader, but it's a pity you've been taken in by these foreign missionaries. They only want to get rich through you. And no one believes the Bible anymore. And people are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish to accept their story. Well, the old chief's eyes flashed as he answered, you see that great rock over there? On it, we smashed the heads of our victims. You notice the furnace next to it? Yeah. Well, in that furnace, we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals into Christians, you'd never leave this place alive. And you better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible, you would now be our supper. I believe that's a true story. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, dunamis, explosive dynamite of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Acts 20, verse 32, the word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it effectually worketh also in you that believe. Has an impact. So you look at the impact of the Word of God on the Roman Empire. You ever done that? During and after Christ, the Roman Empire. You know, we often say today, boy, I tell you, there's never been a generation as wicked as our generation. Let me give a quote, fairly lengthy quote. It said the Romans promoted brutal gladiatorial contests where thousands of slaves, condemned criminals, prisoners of war, mauled and slaughtered each other for the amusement of cheering audiences. Roman authors indicate that sexual activity between men and women had become highly promiscuous and essentially depraved before and during that time that Christians appeared in Roman society. And that homosexuality was widespread among pagan Greeks and Romans, especially men with boys. He goes on, he says, women were relegated to a low status in society where they received little schooling and they could not speak in public, and the women were viewed as property of their husbands. Quote, as professing Christianity spread in the region, those parts of its teachings that corresponded to biblical truths had a profound impact. Pagan practices were confronted with biblical principles concerning the status of women, the importance of the family, the sanctity of human life as made in God's image, and the sinfulness of sexual immorality and homosexuality. And eventually, Roman emperors even outlawed the branding of criminals and crucifixion and terminated the brutal gladiatorial contest that had flourished for nearly seven centuries, implementing one of the most important reforms in the moral history of mankind. And in the words of historian Christopher Dawson, the changes brought about by the spread of these ideas marked, quote, the beginning of a new era in world history. The impact of the Word of God on the nation of Rome. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You feel that way? That the word of God is unto you the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Oh, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Turn that TV off. I can't wait. I got to get alone. I got to get in the Word of God. You ever feel that way? That's what Jeremiah is saying. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't be satisfied just sitting and listening. One speaker said, as our culture continues its shift away from God, more and more of His Word is... Actually, this is a man that you hear on KRKS, Dr. Tony Evans. He said, as our culture continues its shift away from God, more and more of His Word is being edited out. It's tweaked or redefined by preachers who claim His name. While they may not come outright and declare a change to God's Word, the avoidance of teaching truth in the face of controversy has left a number of our churches anemic and faltering. He says our nation ills are not merely the result of corrupt politicians and terrorists or extremists. Our troubles can be traced directly, watch this, to the ineffective preachers producing ineffective Christians. And the tragedy today is not that sinners sin. That's what they're expected to do. Since mankind is born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the real tragedy is that the church as a whole has failed to advance God's kingdom and truth in society in order to be a positive influence for good in our nation and in the world. Amen. Well put. So in order to position America in a place to experience both revival and renewal, what needs to happen? Well, as those of us who communicate the word, which ought to be all of us, teachers, preachers, soul winners, we must commit to the teaching of the entire word of God. The total, as we're learning Sunday mornings in Sunday school, the total canon of scriptures. This writer says, we must effectively disciple those within our influence to live all of life under the comprehensive truth of God. And when we do that, we not only change our churches and our communities, we change our entire nation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is what lives and abides forever. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destructions. There's a group of a traveling revival team that had a great impact on my life years ago. And that's where I met Les Olala. That's where I met Marty Vaughn. Called Life Action. And interesting, there's an article online. Once in a while, I get online to see some of the articles on revival. And I came across this article this week. And it talks about a woman was publicly executed in North Korea recently. Her crime. What's her crime? Distributing Bibles. This writer says, it's noteworthy that a book most Americans take for granted and rarely read was worthy of death in a far corner of the world. So what makes the Bible that dangerous to an evil regime? What makes it the most feared and most revered book in history? Well, here it is. The Bible has power to change lives. It delivers cultures from the grasp of evil. It transforms nations. It revives churches. It spawns spiritual revival and awakening. And yet, while we in the West have more Bibles available, how many Bibles you got in your house? While we in the West have more Bibles available than any other culture in the history of the world, something's clearly missing. The Bible is having less and less of an impact on our culture, and even those who believe it may secretly be bored by its contents. Why? Could it be that the Bible's power is only unleashed when it's lived out by God's people? Maybe we're not living the Bible. He goes on, he says, a recent study by the Barna Group suggests that while a whopping 82% of Americans profess to be Christians, 3/4 simultaneously do not believe the Bible should be a standard for their decisions. For them, application of truth is optional. Sometimes, he says, we're so caught up in defending the inerrancy or inspiration, or the King James Version of the Bible, as I added that, that we miss its central point, obedience. Admittedly, He says the greatest struggle I face in my walk with God is not learning more truth, but obeying the truth I already know. He says when it comes to revival, there's no greater message needed than obedience to Christ and obedience to His Word. He says apart from the Word of God, there's no real work of God. Apart from the Word of God, there's no real work of God. A.W. Tozer declared that prayer will become effective when we stop using it as a substitute for obedience. Did you catch that? Prayer will become effective when we stop using it as a substitute for obedience to the Word of God. The psalmist knew the igniting power of the Word of God, so he cried out, "Revive me according to your word." And Paul knew the preparatory power of the Word of God, so he preached the Scripture for over 2 years in Ephesus before God poured out His Spirit in that city. Acts chapter 19. And Jesus knew the transforming power of the Word of God, so He called the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 to repentance and fresh obedience to the truth. Then he says the kind of revival we need today is a word-driven revival. Amen? The most powerful revivals in history have been based on the clear proclamation and application of the Bible. He says when Peter came up out of the upper room full of the Holy Spirit and the power of Pentecost, his first sermon was saturated with Scripture from Joel and the Psalms. And when God sent spiritual awakening to Ephesus, it says the Word of God, the Word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And so it has been throughout the church age. The Word of God has been the driving force of revival. The Word of God. One other good quote from Answers in Genesis. He said, they say, God's word is different. It's the power of one who is always present in every time and everywhere. Scripture is the power of the light of God's truth. It displays our utter weakness in sin. It is the power of His authority to both judge rebellion and deliver mercy. God's word is the power of the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And all of this power is eternal and limitless. And this is the power of the Almighty God displayed in His written word and through His mighty work of salvation. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the man without Christ, the man whose eyes have never been opened by the Holy Spirit, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's not receptive to the Word of God. Why? Because he doesn't know Christ. I think many times people who are bored with the Word of God really don't know the author. Amen? He says they're foolishness unto them. The things of God are foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way you can understand the Word of God is through the telescope of the Holy Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. John 15:3, you are clean. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You want to be clean? Get in the word. Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isn't that true? Now, let me give you two benefits of studying the Word of God quickly. And there are many more. Let me just give you two right off. You study the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God. You hide it in your heart. Number one, it produces truth. It produces truth. The Word of God produces truth. Living truth in your life. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We already looked at this, but let me give it to you again. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You want to be a disciple of Christ? You got to be in the word. You got to be obedient to the word. You got to be living out the word of God in your life. So it produces truth. Second of all, last of all, it produces joy. And the most joyful Christians here tonight are those who are in the Word. The most depressed Christians here tonight are those who are too busy for the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Proverbs 8:34, blessed, that means happy, fulfilled, is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Luke 11, verse 28, blessed, means happy, fulfilled, are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, as I gave earlier, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Is that true of you tonight? The joy and rejoicing of your heart. You can't wait to get in the word. 1 John 1, 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We're done. You challenged to be in the Word? Father, thank you for your Word.